Good morning, Katie.
Hi there.
Although I guess it's afternoon where you are. I'm Sarah Posner, and this is The Posner Show, and my guest today is Katie Englehart. Katie is a London-based journalist who wrote recently for CNN about the Sunday Assembly, or which is otherwise known as the Atheist Megachurch, which, as she chronicles in this piece, has suffered its first schism,
I guess,
whereby a group that had been following the Sunday Assembly in New York City broke away, claiming that the founders of the Sunday Assembly did not welcome atheists. So with that sort of provocative setup, let's talk about the Sunday Assembly. So for people who aren't familiar with that, it was kind of a startup by a couple of British comedians, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's right. About a year ago, a couple of British comedians, Pippa Evans and Sanderson Jones, started I guess an atheist church in East London. Mm-hmm. It was in a neighborhood called Dalston, which is sort of trendy and filled with 20-somethings. And their idea was to have a place for atheists to congregate. So I actually attended one of the church's first services last April. It was a sort of a small venture, maybe 100 or 200 people. And yes, since then it's really taken off. It got a lot of attention here in London. Mm-hmm. They ended up moving to a big hall in central London, a very elegant kind of venue. And then in September they started a franchise.
So, and the franchise, as far as I understand it from reading about it in the U.S. media, they started a Kickstarter campaign, and they were looking to raise a lot of money so that there could, or not a lot of money, but enough money so that these atheist churches, and perhaps calling them atheist megachurches is a little bit overblown because maybe the mega part is missing thus far, and that they were cropping up in cities all across America.
That's right. I mean, the story the founders tell is that they started getting emails from people all over the world asking them to start Sunday assemblies, you know, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the founders had the idea to create a franchise so that people could take the model, the rules, the motto, the trademark, the logo, all of that, and transplant it. So they picked, I think, 40 cities to start with. And in September, they started rolling them out. So the founders actually did their own kind of road shows going around to North America, to Australia, New Zealand, and starting new branches. So, you know, the interest, I think, was organic to those places, but the model's been transplanted, I think, you know, to a lot of different places.
Now, I've talked to a few people about this phenomenon and in the sort of secular atheist community here in the United States. And there's sort of a mix of reactions to it. Mm-hmm. One reaction is, well, sure, you know, if, you know, atheists need a community and a place to congregate, just like people who have a God belief. It's nice to have that community, even though we don't share a belief around a sacred text or a God being or anything like that. For some people, the reaction was more like, I'm not really comfortable with that because church is what we as atheists wanted to get away from. And we don't really need a church to have an identity as an atheist or secular movement. And we don't really need church to have a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think you summed that up nicely. I think there are varied reasons why people attend Sunday assemblies or other atheist gatherings. You mm-hmm. know, you touched on the sense of community. I think there's a bit more to it than that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a Sunday assembly offers, you know, an interesting lecture, conceivably,
right.
A moment to reflect, group singing, free food. I mean, there are all sorts of reasons.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think that's something that a lot of people would like. They would like it without God. Now, on the other hand, there are certainly a lot of people for whom atheism is a statement or a practice of absence and non-alignment. I know, you know, even chatting with my father about this, for him, being an atheist is about being non-aligned.
Right.
So an atheist church would be very, very unattractive to him.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of criticism that the church has attracted, I think it's interesting. I imagined that it would be mostly theists who sort of disagreed with the idea of the Sunday Assembly, people who, you know, resented their own traditions and customs being sort of pillaged and mutilated by atheists. But
right.
But actually, I think a lot of the conversations happened amongst atheists, which mm-hmm. I think is very healthy.
So let's talk a little bit about this split that's taken place. In
sure.
your piece, you know, so the Sunday Assembly calls itself a godless congregation, but then you go on to talk about how the breakaway group calls itself the godless revival, mm-hmm. and the split is over whether they can talk about being atheists or not.
Yeah, I mean,
which seems a little odd.
Yeah, the atheist church is definitely not that atheistic.
Okay.
I think that's clear. I think at the beginning, you know, the phrase atheist church was used a lot and by the founders too.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an idea, you know, in the early services that this is a gathering of people who do not believe that God exists.
Right.
Later, that message was sort of diluted. And so now, attending a Sunday assembly, at least in London, godlessness as such is rarely discussed. The founders don't talk actively about a deity. They talk a lot about things like wonder and awe and dazzle, but rarely do they make firm statements saying that God does not exist. So what happened in New York, mm-hmm. you know, a Sunday Assembly started there, I think, in September, although it had been building for a while. There ended up being this divergence between people who were really happy with the model, the Sunday Assembly model, as it was you know, practice in London, and people who were dissatisfied with the lack of kind of firm atheism. They wanted a real atheist church, which is something that the Sunday Assembly sort of promised at the beginning and hasn't really delivered. So, so yeah, a group has spun off. They call themselves the Godless Revival. So they're godless revivalists. And yeah, they promise a more strict atheism.
So Jones, Sanderson Jones, one of the founders of the Sunday Assembly, you say in your piece, he wrote in August, in a blog post, how atheist should our assembly be? The short answer to that is not very.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think happened there? Were they getting bad PR by talking about atheism too much? Were they, did they feel like they were alienating potential congregants by talking about atheism too much? Did they consider atheism too negative? Did they want to talk about wonder and awe and dazzlement more?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of reasons. I don't think they got bad publicity because of the Atheist Church. In fact, I think they got a lot of publicity because of the Atheist Church title.
But
I think
the oxymoronic title.
Yeah, I think eventually they wanted to appeal to a bigger tent. So in the article, I cited a Pew Forum poll from 2012, which shows that of the 20 or so percent of Americans who define themselves as without religion, only a very, very small percentage of that of those people identify as
atheist. Right.
And so a church that's kind of not believing but kind of spiritual and kind of wishy-washy on the question of atheism is probably going to attract more people. I think some original supporters will be disappointed, but if it's a numbers game, I think it's probably a smart move.
But is that necessarily true outside the United States? Because I get the sense that godlessness is not as reviled in European countries as it is in the U.S. So in the U.K., where you are, I mean, was the godlessness as much of an issue as it was here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's actually really interesting in the U.K. context, because in the last year or so, there has been a kind of a backlash against vocal atheists. A number of sort of atheist champions, leaders, Richard Dawkins and the like, have made some controversial statements over the last year or so about religion, particularly about Islam.
Right.
And I'm not sure that all of the criticism of Dawkins, et cetera, is justified, but I think certainly there's an idea, a belief in the UK that atheists are increasingly a nasty bunch, or that they're intolerant towards faith, or this or that. So I think maybe the atheist title isn't a huge selling point here, although probably no match for America's hatred of atheism. Yeah,
right. So what do you think that people who go So with this atheist split, the atheists are basically saying to the Sunday Assembly folks, look, we want something that's more explicitly atheistic.
Mm-hmm.
But this hasn't ruined the Sunday Assembly. The Sunday Assembly is still going forward with the people who like its dazzlement and awe message.
Mm-hmm.
What are the people who are still, I get what the people who are the atheist schism folks, they want to be, they're purists wanting to be atheists.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are still drawn to the Sunday Assembly, what is it they're looking for, do you think? I mean, apart from the questions of community and feeling like you're in a gathering of like-minded people.
I think having had a chance to talk with people at Sunday Assembly London, I mean, I think a lot of people, they want a kind of more active disbelief. So I think a lot of atheists, certainly when I grew up, I was kind of a lazy atheist. I vaguely didn't believe in God. It was what I'd been taught growing up, but didn't really think about what my disbelief meant, why other people feel religious, how I can create a kind of secular moral code way of living that that maybe draws from religion, but is entirely godless. So I think that maybe people who attend Sunday assemblies are looking for that kind of more active thought process. They don't want atheism to be, or godlessness to be, a tally of things that they lack, lacking faith or this or that, but they want it to be something more active. And certainly a lot of people like the idea of having an hour a week where they can think about how they should live, set some goals, that sort of thing. So I think it can be quite an intellectual enterprise. On the other hand, I think probably a lot of people are there for the fun. Mm-hmm. There's a house band, there's food and book clubs and all sorts of things attached to the Sunday Assembly. So for others, I'm sure it's more like a glorified community center almost.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess I'm a little confused by everyone's appropriation of the word godless, but then one group wanting to say, we're a godless congregation, but we're not really going to talk about atheism.
Sure,
and then
the
other one saying, we're a godless revival, and we are going to talk about atheism. I mean, the split almost seems silly.
I think there is a difference. I think there is a difference in that, according to Lee Moore, who's one of the founders of the Godless Revivalists, according to him, he was told or asked by the Sunday Assembly headquarters not to bring in too many atheist speakers, to have people talk about a variety of topics. Sunday Assembly London has had a vicar address the crowd, and I think that we will probably see the godless survivalists have a lot more sort of vocal, active atheists. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a bit more of a political edge to that group. There are a lot of atheists out there who would like to get together and discuss prejudice they feel as a as a community. So, I do think there is a difference. And to the great credit of the Sunday Assembly founders, they're very very open to criticism. I've published a number of articles that are critical of their operations, and still they grant me interviews when I want to chat. Sanderson Jones, he said that thing when the Godless Survivalists split off, it was something along the lines of, we're one flavor of ice cream, and we hope there are different kinds of atheism to suit every palate. And I think, it's a really healthy attitude to take. It stands in direct contrast to other groups, other religious groups that I reach out to as a journalist and who refuse to grant me interviews, especially if they've read articles in which I profess to be an atheist. So, so again, I think, I think there will be a lot of critics, but so far the group's been really receptive and respectful of those critics.
It's interesting. It's almost like there's been, and it all happened in this very sort of condensed period of time relative to the development of changes in, say, Christianity over 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like there's been some sort of reformation, and we're already seeing the different denominations that resulted mm-hmm. from the Reformation. I mean, it's kind of a clumsy analogy, but in a sense, it's almost like they're all saying, well, we are all atheists, but we have slightly different... we have a slightly different theology, if you will, on that, or a slightly different approach. I mean, because sometimes when you look at the differences between different Protestant denominations, to an outsider, it can appear to be rather irrelevant. But to them, so those distinctions are very, very relevant.
Sure. I think this also has something to do with the organization of Sunday Assembly, especially in recent months. Mm-hmm. I think at the beginning, it was a local venture. It was an East London thing. It was mostly young people. It took place in this little deconsecrated church and was very casual. And later there were a lot more rules. And as I write, it became a lot more church-like. Mm-hmm. So there's now a very formal accreditation process, and it involves a peer review process and registering as a nonprofit or some sort of small business. And, there are all these steps that are taken, and then that allows someone to have access to the Sunday Assembly logo and trademark. When you start creating a church, schisms will happen because mm-hmm. it's impossible to take a model of atheism that was originally suited to 20 cities in East London and transport it globally and have everyone be okay with it.
Right.
Another approach, I suppose, the Sunday Assembly could have taken, another approach would have been to not have that kind of centralized structure. And then maybe schisms wouldn't have happened because different branches could just respond to the needs and fancies of local communities. But sure. I read some blog that said, the Sunday Assembly, we had the whole history of Christianity in, 1 month of the Sunday Assembly.
Maybe
that's a universal.
So, I know here in the U.S., I've covered atheism and secularism conferences, and mm-hmm. you can get into a discussion with somebody who can recite to you the finer points of the distinctions between a humanist, a secular humanist, a free thinker, a skeptic, an atheist, and the list goes on. And in a sense, these Sunday Assemblies, I think, were an effort to bring all those kinds of people together to the mm-hmm. extent that they weren't opposed to the idea of going to something that was called a church or resembled a church, or to the extent that they weren't already probably, maybe going someplace like a Unitarian Universalist church or a humanist Jewish congregation or something like that, because those things also exist. Mm-hmm. And non-believers are welcome in UU churches. And, maybe if you want a church kind of thing that is already there for you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's sort of interesting. They were trying to bring, I think what maybe at a granular level, people who had very different ideas about what they wanted this thing to look like, bringing them all together, and so maybe these sorts of schisms were inevitable.
I mean, I think that's possible. And I think, the Sunday Assembly will still attract people mm-hmm. of different atheist varieties, mm-hmm. and beyond. I remember at my first service, there was a moment where we had to kind of turn to people near us and introduce ourselves. And I started chatting with a young guy near me, and it turns out he's a Catholic and quite devout, and he had been to real church in the early morning and then come to our, secular church afterwards. And he really liked it and was going to come every month. So I think you'll still see that variety.
And he liked it as an add-on to having gone to mass in the morning.
Yeah. He liked it as an add-on. There was an interesting lecture. I think at that point it was, a historian talking about traditions of Easter and that sort of thing. So there was certainly, there is certainly a lot for people to gain, even if they do have a faith. Now, I think, it's possible to criticize, and I have criticized the actual, quality of the sermons, that the Sunday Assembly offers, but regardless of that, I think there's still a lot of attraction for people who have different kinds of levels of disbelief.
Right. And so you talk about that a little bit in this piece, your criticism of some of the lectures. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Well, I mean, so something that attracted me to the Sunday Assembly was the promise of a thoughtful sermon every month. And I think this is probably, I just finished grad school. I missed the school setting. I missed being exposed to ideas and conversations that I wouldn't normally come across myself. I haven't really found all of the sermons to be terribly thoughtful. I think at the last service I went to, I was excited to hear a physicist talk about the history of physics and that sort of thing. And instead it was kind of 4 minutes, 5 minutes, read like a Wikipedia page. Wasn't that interesting? You know, again, I'd gone to meet new people and instead there was this kind of, you know, stilted conversation in the lobby at the beginning and then no designated time to chat with people during the service. So for me, the execution of the assembly in London hasn't necessarily met my expectations. But that's not to say it can't or it won't, or it doesn't for some people. But yeah. Also, the music is really loud, and I'm a bit of an old person that way. It was
right. But what I was going to say with regard to your point about the lectures, I think that for a lot of religious people do a lot of searching before they settle on a church or a synagogue or a mosque. You know, they want to make sure that the rabbi, imam, preacher, pastor sort of meet their standards for perhaps intellectual rigor, religious rigor. And so the idea of like, well, you've been to the one and it didn't really measure up to what your expectations were. Mm-hmm. I think that's like a really common experience for anyone who's looking for a congregation. And maybe in a way that means that, you know, the atheist church movement, or if you want to call it that, has some of the same issues that churches and other houses of worship have.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good point. I mean, you know, I would hope that in a few years' time, people have a nice choice of atheist churches to attend. I think the Sunday Assembly tried to sort of bypass some of that, some of those issues related to affinity with the, you know, preacher, mm-hmm. By mandating that chapters have rotating MCs. Mm-hmm. In London, there hasn't been a rotating MC for whatever reason. But I do think it's a good idea. I think it would make it easier for people to find a single church that they could kind of get along with if there wasn't one charismatic leader dominating.
Right. But, well, charisma yeah. is an issue that I was thinking about as you were talking, because I think for some people, I mean, depending on your religion and your denomination and your orientation, for some people in religion, they're looking for someone who's, you know, very scholarly and educated. So they might be looking for that. Other people are maybe just looking for that pure charisma, that pure ability to sort of connect with what people are thinking and connect these complicated ideas to your life, and not abstract these religious ideas so much that you can't, you feel like you're not oriented around them at all.
Exactly. So we've got, you know, two stand-up comics in London, but elsewhere, you know, Harvard University has a humanist community, right, which is really strong. Mm-hmm. Atheism and humanism, not necessarily the same thing, but it is a secular community. And that, I think that leadership is quite intellectual. Mm-hmm. The what they offer is more intellectually rigorous. But yeah, again, it's a matter of preference.
So, you know, I think that, you know, in the evangelical and charismatic Christian world, you know, the charisma, not in a religious sense, but maybe in a just more personal sense, is a huge thing, because it's a preacher who can, you know, pick up the mantle of starting a church and get people to come. I mean, that is what draws people. If, you know, mm-hmm. the religion has already been there. Some people are looking for somebody new, somebody fresh, somebody who's really going to motivate them or inspire them. Mm-hmm. But it's, I wonder, like, is that, do these atheist churches have, and I'm not saying that the atheist churches have to mimic, I think that's one of the problems, is like this tension over whether they need to mimic actual churches or not. But I do think that personal charisma is a huge draw. And in, you know, like I said, in the evangelical world, in the charismatic Christian world, that can be the soul draw for a lot of people. Sure. It's like, I like that guy. Mm-hmm. And if that guy left and went to another church, they might follow him there as opposed to just keep going to that church. Is this more the one in New York, or is he somebody that people are drawn to, or is he more of just an organizer who helped bring about this schism so that the atheists could be more overt about their atheism?
Yeah. You know, I think charisma is probably just as important, if not more important, for atheist churches, mm-hmm. just because people aren't going to be, you know, no one's going to be guilted into going to an atheist church because they think you know, someone will smite them from above or something.
Exactly.
So they have to be more actively drawn. And certainly the Sunday Assembly London founders are like oozing with charisma. That is not what they lack. But I think charisma is really important. But again, it's this question of clicking. Mm-hmm. It's just like a university, you know. If there's a good professor who gives good lectures and is fun, then more students will take the class, even if the subject matter is not as interesting. So mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I guess to build a church, you need charisma, I would think. And I think with atheists, you might need a little more.
So what do you think the future is for not just the Sunday Assembly, but the idea of these atheist churches, the godless revival?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Well, to start with the Sunday Assembly, I think there will probably be lots of chapters that open up fairly successfully. I'm not sure it will be like as huge as the founders would have liked. Mm-hmm. They started a Kickstarter campaign, like an internet fundraising campaign, with a goal of raising, I think, £500,000recently, and they've only met, you know, a fraction of that goal. But overall, I mean, it seems to me that the effort to build a more organized atheism is growing, it's taking off, and I wouldn't be surprised to see more, if not atheist churches, then at least sort of secular meeting places for non-believers. And I have a feeling a lot of people will call them atheist churches anyway, because certainly for the Sunday Assembly, a lot of PRs come from that.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, I think that in a way, the Sunday Assembly folks have become the face of mm-hmm. it. And that's what people associate it with them exclusively. That they've been a little right. successful, I think. Something mm-hmm. they have been successful at is the branding part of it.
Yeah, for sure. And now they're selling t-shirts and assorted swag. So I think there is definitely a strong brand and a good name and a good motto. What is it?
Wonder, live better, you know, wonder more.
Live better, mm-hmm. help often, wonder more. Right, I think it's great, actually. Uh-huh. I also suspect that a lot of ventures that start up will be more locally based, and they'll be less concerned with branding. We'll probably see a variety. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's definitely a really interesting phenomenon to watch. Mm-hmm. I think particularly in the U.S., because atheism still has such a stigma attached to it,
yeah.
despite the presence of some very prominent atheists here, I think it just still has a huge stigma attached to it.
Yeah.
And I think that as these atheist churches develop and mature and change and have their schisms and so forth, they're going to be scrutinized more, both by the atheists themselves and by non-atheists who are going to look for any way to try to demonstrate that, you know, the atheists just can't pull anything off
or
that they're wrong or what have you. So
sure. But, you know, I think the scrutiny is, again, really, really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's probable that if there are sort of big umbrella groups like the Sunday Assembly that continue to grow, we'll see some of the problems that we see in traditional churches. Hopefully not, you know, like pedophilia scandals and you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, we'll see some of the institutional problems,
right.
problems with leadership. There'll be questions about minorities and women and mm-hmm. And funding and all those sorts of things.
And
but,
control.
And control.
You know, because they will
sure
have to
control.
Create, mm-hmm. there's no denominational structure to tell them, you know, oh, like, you know, here is your minister and your deacons do this and your
right.
presbytery does this.
Right.
You know, that will have to be created, and it would have to be created to the satisfaction of both the people running it and the people attending it. Those are challenging issues.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think in a way it's a challenge too for individuals. As I said, I think that, you know, it's one thing to not believe in God, and it's another thing to approach that disbelief actively and sort of think about what it means and how it influences one's life and how one defines priorities in the absence of religious belief. So I think it will be a struggle, but I think it should be a really welcome opportunity. And then there'll be lots and lots and lots of atheists who never set foot in an atheist church.
Right. And that will never change.
And that will never change.
Right. Well, listen, thanks so much for talking to me. The piece is at CNN's website. Mm-hmm. We have a link for it here on Blogging Heads, and you should go read it. It's really interesting. And check out Katie's website. And thanks again, and maybe we can do this again.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah.
Okay, thanks, Katie. Bye.
Bye.